Morning, everybody. How you doing? Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We are live in the Allstate Studio, 7th floor of the Trib Tower, here till 5 a.m. Steve Grzanich with the opening bell at 5, and the great Steve Cochran at 6 for your morning drive. All right. It's Monday. That means my dad's going to call in and tell a joke, because it's a jokey time. That's coming up as well. So here are some things that you didn't know had names. Sort of like things that you see every day or things that you talk about or things that that actually have names. Now, the first one that I've given is, as an example, I was talking before our show started, with Lisa and Carl about, do you know, let's see, Esmeralda, anybody here know those plastic things at the end of your shoelaces? What are they called?
Flugel binders.
All right.
No, they're not. They're not called.
They're not called.
No, they're not called flugel binders. Although that was my radio name in college. Yeah, flugel binders. Yeah.
I don't remember. I used to know this. I used to work for a shoe man.
That's right, and delivered shoes.
Right, but I couldn't tell you what it is right now. No idea.
It's not. Well, we got one guest. Flugel binders was our first guest.
That's a movie quote.
Is it from a movie?
It's from a movie. Not one of your favorites.
Flugelbinders.
It is Tom Cruise's character in Cocktails. told his soon-to-be wife that in a scene. Pretty good scene, I thought.
Wait. You're quoting from Cocktail?
I just came to me.
Where? What is it in the context of what in the movie?
It was a scene where he. Well, he's an ambitious. He plays a very ambitious, person.
I'm familiar with
okay.
the movie.
Well, I don't know how it came to mind. It just did. You know, Flugelbinders is. It's just in there, and my brain just pulled the file right away.
Yeah.
Zap.
Okay. Flugelbinders from the movie Cocktail. That's the first thing that came to Vic's head.
I can't wait to hear what they're actually called.
Well, they're actually called aglets.
That makes perfect sense.
A-G-L-E-T. They're called aglets. Does that sound familiar to you, Esmeralda?
Nope. I guess I never knew what it was.
Yes, I never knew what it was. Yeah, that's what they're called. It says... we doubt you'll ever know this information, but it could be helpful impressing people at a party. See? That's what this is all about.
Those things are the most infuriating part of a shoelace.
What? Wait a minute. Why? Are there other infuriating parts of a shoelace?
Well, I mean, the shoelace itself, because sometimes they're too short.
Yeah.
Or you rip them and then you have one side and it's ridiculous. But those, they fall off so easily.
Yeah.
And then you have to twist the end.
Because you can't get it through the...
Yeah, there are multiple techniques that you can employ to get those to
scotch
actually
tape.
Go through the eyelet.
You can scotch tape the
you
end.
Can scotch, you can cut it at an angle, at a 45-degree angle.
I've done
spit
the,
on it.
I've done the... I've done twist the, it. The, I've done the twisting and the scotch tape.
Oh, it's the worst.
Yeah. Actually, mine... I have not had my aglets fall off. Well, that sounds dirty. I've not had my aglets fall off in a long time. Maybe Chuck Taylor's are the way to go.
I just don't think you do enough activity that would make them fall off.
Well, I also don't completely. I don't. You know, I actually don't completely unlace my shoes. I can get them.
Oh,
off
you just slide it in and out.
I can get them. I can get them. I can. That's going to be on Friday.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah.
No, I can get. I can get the shoes off without going nuts and
so
the
shoe is
them.
Loose enough.
After I loosen the laces without actually taking the laces out completely. Like you can loosen the laces without removing the entire lace.
What?
Yeah, you don't have to unlace the entire thing. You can loosen all the laces.
Why would you unlace to do what?
To take the shoe off. When you're taking the shoe off, you untie the shoe and then loosen the laces without actually taking the laces out through the holes.
I pull it out. Just pull my foot out of the shoe.
That's what I'm saying. But
you lift the tongue up a little and that's it.
Yeah. Okay. Well, then I don't understand why all your aglets are falling off if all you do is...
Well, usually it was more when I was a kid. Because you're running around and doing stuff and probably yanking at your shoelaces all the time.
Right.
And then they would just crack.
Yeah. It happened more when I was a kid than it has when I was an adult.
Right. As I said.
Yeah.
All right. Not a lot of activity.
Yeah. No, I don't... I'm not going to... What am I going to do? Run? Are you kidding me? All right. What about a, what is a, what is chanking? C-H-A-K-I-N-G. C-H-A-N-K-I-N-G. Chanking. I've never heard this before, and it's very weird.
It's a verb.
Well, it's two. It's actually a noun and a verb. It can be used as a noun, it's something else. As a verb, it's something else. Which is weird, because it's two different. It's very strange. It's two different definitions for the same word. Two different definitions. It's a different definition as a noun and a different definition as a verb.
No idea.
All right. As a verb, it means to eat noisily. Chanking.
V loves to chank. How would you? V is always chanking.
He is.
There you go.
Okay. Well, the as a noun, and I think this is actually kind of interesting. As a noun, it's chanking is the food you spit out like an olive pit. That's chanking. So the olive pit or, you know, peach pit, whatever.
So you have a pile of chankings?
Yeah.
Now, would you call it an olive chanking?
No, just a like I think in general, an olive pit. And whatever else you would not, where you would spit out, like the seed of something, that's chanking. What was that disgusting, candy we were eating and had that big stupid thing in the big like?
It's tamarind.
Yeah, that was terrible.
It had a tamarind seed.
There was that was that's chanking. That thing is a chanking.
A pile of chanking.
Yeah, pile of chanking. And you could actually you could use it in the same situation. Let's say. V is eating a couple of olives, so he's chanking the olives and then spitting out some chanking. That's the two uses of the word. All right, this is fascinating stuff, people. Mark down your calendars because you're going to be the life of the party at the next exhibit.
People are going to think you're so hoity-toity.
Yeah, that's
you're like, oh, that is a pile of chanking.
Well, could you please eat a little more quietly? You are currently chanking. You have to be British in order to do that.
Yeah.
All right. We have to take a break here. We got the weather and the traffic here. Welcome back, everybody. Hi. How are you? It's Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. It's Monday morning. That means my dad is going to call in and tell a joke because it's a jokey time. We're talking about things that you didn't know actually had a name. We've got a bunch of other stuff here, too. Let's see. How about this one? Esmeralda, do you know what that little indentation between your nostrils, right below your nostrils, that little indentation on your lip, on your face is called?
Oh, I don't know.
It's called, what was that thing from, Vic, what was it? What was that quote from Cocktail again?
A flugelbinder.
That's what it is. It's a flugelbinder.
That thing you're talking about right now is called the middle of your upper lip.
It actually has a name. It's called a philtrum. P-H-I-L-T-R-U-M. That little groove between your lips and nose is actually a philtrum. In other animals, the philtrum is used to carry moisture from the mouth to the nose pad, but the human philtrum serves no apparent function.
Oh, gross.
Then why name it?
Oh, because the animals have it, too.
I guess the animals have it, yeah.
Oh, that sounds disgusting. From their nose
to
their mouth?
To carry moisture from the mouth to the nose pad.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
So.
That sounds great.
All right. Now, you know when you are putting a dot on your lowercase I's or lowercase J's? Do you know what that's called? It's not a dot. It's not a period. It's got a name. When you put a dot above your lowercase I's and your lowercase J's. And it's not Snooglethorpe or whatever the hell that you were saying, Vic.
Snooglethorpe.
Well, I don't know. Do you know what it is, anybody?
No idea.
No.
Tittle.
Ugh.
T-I-T-T-L-E. Those are tittles.
Wait, what?
Okay, T-I-T-T-L-E. It's title with an extra T. It's the word title with an extra T. It's a tittle.
Oh, I used to know a guy with that last name. No joke.
Now, was that reaction to the fact that this wasn't a pleasant man?
Yeah, he wasn't very good. No.
Okay. Mr. Tittle.
What was that, Esmeralda?
It's just real weird.
Uh-huh. All right, how about this one? Armsays. A-R-M-S-A-Y-E-S. Armsays. And Dan, you've read the description of this one, so you should have personal knowledge of this one.
I do. I'm sorry. I was just ordering cocktail.
Okay, you were ordering a cocktail, a snoogleflarb. So armsays. Any idea, Esmeralda?
No.
Here's what it says. If you put your shirt on backwards, and that's why Dan has personal.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Experience, because he was in Crisscross for a little while. He toured with Crisscross. You have your arms in the wrong arm saves, but we call them armholes. So the armholes on your shirt are actually arm saves.
How just, like, uncultured do you sound? No, we call them armholes. That's, do you remember on The Simpsons they do that? And he's like, the garage.
Yeah.
How fancy.
We call that the car hood?
Car hole.
Car hole. The car hole. That's right. was that Cletus who says that?
No, I think Mo.
Oh, it's Mo.
Mo's
probably
like, we call it a car hole.
Yeah. All right. Zarf. Z-A-Z-A-R-F. Zarf. Anybody?
Is that just not a thing that cartoon dogs say?
Nope. Originally, a zarf was a metal chalice meant to prevent the heat from your coffee from burning your fingers. The name for the fancy cup holder has morphed into the modern-day cardboard cup sleeve that you wrap around your coffee cup. So that's a zarf, that thing that that they put on the outside of your coffee cup and spell your name wrong. At Starbucks. No, they write on the cup at Starbucks, right?
Yeah.
Or do they write on the zarf?
They write on the cup.
They write on the cup and then provide a zarf. I actually know the guy that produces the Starbucks zarf, and he is a multi-millionaire.
I would bet, man.
Does he call it zarfs?
I don't know if he's ever called it zarfs, but he's the uncle of one of my really good friends. And, like, we've stayed in his house up in Wisconsin for a weekend, and it's like,
you see?
Right.
See what zarf?
He's got that zarf money.
He's got that zarf. He's got the zarf money.
Heavy zarf money, man.
Yo, man, you got that zarf money. I can't believe rappers haven't used that in their songs because it rhymes with barf. You could just go right to barf.
What songs have barf in them?
I don't know. You could just write a song, man. I got so much. I got money from the zarf so much it'll make you barf.
I'll have to call up my touring mates, Chris Cross.
Call up Chris Cross.
They're the only ones who would want that line.
Get DMX on the line right now. Y'all going to make me lose my mind up in Zarf, and I'll barf. All right, what is glabella? Glabella. G-L-A-B-E-L-L-A. Glabella.
Is that thing in the back of your throat?
No, that's a, what is that thing called? It's a uvula.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's a uvula. All right, anybody? Glabella?
Nothing.
People with expressive faces often end up with wrinkles in their glabella, and that is the space between your eyebrows. So, but Frida Kahlo doesn't have a glabella. So that
she could.
She could if she chose
underneath,
to wax.
Underneath the brow.
Yeah. Glabella. That's the space between your eyebrows. So some people have a bigger glabella than others.
Is that a sign of stress, you think? That glabella?
No, it's actually the space.
It's like a furrowed brow kind of.
No, it's just the space.
Okay.
Well, they use it as an example. They use it as an example. Like if you scrunch up your eyes, you got wrinkles. That's in your glabella. which is the space between your eyebrows. I have a lot of relatives who don't have a glabella on my Italian side.
That would be a unibrow.
Yes, yes, sir. Yes, sir. All right, what are we doing? We're breaking here. All right, I got to go zarf.
You have to get a zarf.
I got
to
get a zarf before I barf. All right.
Don't cause wrinkles in your glabella.
Your
you can't find
won't
one.
Hold your barf.
There you go.
All right, we're going to take a break.
All over your flugelbinders.
Yeah, that's exactly right. We'll take a break. Hey, good morning, everybody. How are you? Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We're live in the Allstate Studio, 7th floor of the Trib Tower, here until 5. Steve Grzanich gives you the opening bell at 5, and Steve Cochran at 6 for your morning drive. It's Monday morning, everybody. Happy Monday. And my dad's going to call in and tell a joke because it's a jokey time. We've been talking about things that you didn't know had names. And we've been having a little fun with this. All of you people going to Starbucks, make sure they give you a zarf.
Or have one made.
Yeah.
Have you seen that? You can. People have crocheted. They make them out of...
They make their own zarfs?
Yes, so that you're not wasting material.
Oh, okay. Like a washable zarf.
Yeah. Well, you don't have to... unless you're a messy person, you keep spilling on your zarf.
Yeah. I hate it when I spill on my zarf.
Who doesn't? A dirty zarf. Not a way to live.
For those of you who are just tuning in, a zarf is the cardboard thing that you wrap around the outside of the cup of coffee so that you do not burn your fingers. That's called a zarf. All right. Let's see. How about the ferrule? Ferrule. F-E-R-R-U-L-E. Ferrule. F-E-R-R-U-L-E.
No idea.
No idea. The metal part that separates the wooden part of a pencil from the eraser.
Huh.
The little metal part that wraps around the eraser and connects it.
So wait, do you think there's a company that makes just those?
Just the ferrules?
And then they send them to the
pencil factory?
Yeah, yeah.
So there's a person whose job is ferrule applier?
Maybe. Well, it'd probably be a machine.
Actually, ferrules are any small metal or plastic rings to fasten and conjoin objects. So any...
A bolt could be a ferrule?
Small metal or plastic rings. A bolt is not...
It's a metal ring.
No, the bolt is the thing that goes in...
Oh, not a bolt.
The thing that...
Nut. Lug nut.
The nut, yeah, a nut. So
they're not just nuts. What are they called?
Ferrules.
No. Yeah.
How about a muntin? M-U-N-T-I-N.
I think I had that for dinner last night.
You had a muntin last night for dinner? Wait a minute now. Hold it a second now.
All right.
Not mutton. Not mutton. Muntin. Oh, boy. All right. Muntin. Many windows are separated into segments of strip of... are separated into segments by strips of wood or metal. These separators are called muntins.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
All right, how about a purlicue? Purlicue. P-U-R-L-I-C-U-E. Purlicue.
Is that like a straight curl?
I've never heard this before. Okay, there's two definitions mm-hmm. for it, but you said curl, right?
Well, no, because I'm thinking curly Q. Is this like pre?
The word curl? Is also used in reference to a flourish or curl at the end of a handwritten word.
So in penmanship.
Yeah, which nobody does anymore.
So I was thinking of a pig's tail.
Curly
Q.
Curly Q. And the other one, this I've never heard this before. It's the space between your pointer finger and your thumb. This part right here. I guess that fleshy part.
Mm-hmm. That's a purlicue?
That's a purlicue.
Well, what about the other ones?
Well, I guess because there's this big fleshy thing there.
There's more.
Yeah. By the way, that's a pressure point for if you have a headache.
Oh, yeah.
You squeeze your purlicue. I got arrested once for squeezing my pearly Q in company.
Oh, no.
And, yeah, I was in. All right. All right. Let's see. A roarback. R-O-O-R-B-A-C-K. Roarback.
She sounds like some animal.
It does, doesn't it?
Yeah, it sounds like a...
Stay away from the roarback! It's like a creature in Middle Earth.
Yes.
Gandalf, please stop the roarback! libel is one thing, but a damaging lie made publicly known for political effect, usually in reference to a candidate who's running for office, is a roarback. How about that? Didn't know that one. That was a word that could have been used a lot last year. Covering the election. Yeah.
Those people, you sir, and it's still, a roarback.
Actually still could be used. It could be used every day in every newscast.
Listen up, news people.
I prefer, yes, get your roarback. Write down roarback. Vic, at the 5 o'clock news, I expect to hear the word roarback. if Vic was doing the news in Middle Earth. We had several roarback attacks in Middle Earth. Gandalf could not stop all the roarbacks. All right. How about the technical term for the nape of your neck?
The nape?
Of your neck. It's the nidic. N-I-D-D-I-C-K.
That's an unfortunate word.
The nidic. Can I nibble on your nidic?
Ugh. No. Take it outside.
All right. How about Dysania? I don't know if I'm pronouncing it correctly. D-Y-S-A-N-I-A. Dysania or Dysania?
No clue.
That is difficulty getting out of bed in the morning.
Oh, don't we all have that?
I had a little Dysania. I have it in the evenings, though.
Right.
Because of this shift.
I would think people are getting it right now.
Yeah. Okay, there is an... All right, I'm going to try this to pronounce this. This, by the way, is the technical term for obsessive nose picking. There's actually a term for obsessive nose picking. And it's... Well, rhino is the first part of it, because that makes sense. Rhinotilexomania. Rhinotilexomania. Rhinotilexomania.
There you go.
That's what it is. That's when you're picking your nose obsessively. How about pantherophobia? Pantherophobia.
Fear of pens?
Fear of your mother-in-law. how about feet? F-E-A-T. It's not what you're thinking. It's not what you're thinking.
No, no clue.
Okay. A side of an act of great strength that describes a dangling curl of hair.
Just any dangling curl of hair?
Yeah, so Charlie Brown has a feet stuck in the middle of his head. He's got a... Charlie Brown has a feet in the middle of his head.
That kid's always weirded me out.
What? Charlie Brown?
It's like a little boy and he only has one thing of hair. It's like, what's wrong?
He's Charlie Brown. He's cursed, the poor kid.
Gosh.
Can't kick a football. Everybody makes fun of him. Look at his Christmas tree. You ever see Charlie Brown's Christmas tree?
Yeah. He's going to be a good friend to everyone.
He's a cursed little dude. He also, Phil Collins looks exactly like him on the cover of No Jacket Required.
That's what he looks like when you grew up.
Because Phil Collins like he has a feet in the middle of his head.
Oh, gosh.
Elvis Presley. When he would do his hair, he had a feet.
Yeah, he had a feet.
He had a feet on his head, which is a hard thing to do.
Superman.
Feet on his head. Mm-hmm. He's got a feet.
Michael Jackson, feet.
Feet.
Right in his face.
Yeah, right in his face. And he rides a roarback to get to the office in Middle Earth. All right, we're learning so much this morning.
We are.
You know, I hope the kids are listening.
Well, yeah.
And they can just go and impress their... Oh, no, today's a Columbus Day, right? So they're off? Kids are off today?
They should still be listening.
You'd still be listening, but I want you to go in, kids, and impress your teachers.
Yeah.
And the fact that you know what a tittle is.
If anything, they should be up since 2 a.m.
That's right.
Because they have the day off.
Taking notes. Tell everybody what a muntin is. All right. We have to break here for something. Weather or traffic, some of that stuff. All right, we'll do that. How about this one? The string of typographical symbols that comic strips use to indicate profanity. That's got a name. What do you think?
No clue. I didn't know it had a name.
I didn't know it had a name either. It's a Grawlix. That's G-R-A-W-L-I-X. Grawlix is the typographical symbols that are comic strip used to indicate profanity.
Is there like standard symbols?
That like, you have to use?
Like pound sign, star, dollar sign.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like an ellipsis is what, three?
Yes, three dots is an ellipsis.
Is a Grawlix?
Yeah.
Like three
It has
symbols?
To be the exact same symbols every time. When you're outside on a cold day and you can feel the warmth of the sun.
Oh, that has a name?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, what is it?
Apricity.
Oh.
A-P-R-I-C-I-T-Y.
Those are my favorite winter days.
Apricity. When you can feel the warmth of the sun?
Yes.
On your cold face?
Yes, when you're walking and it's snow. There's snow on the ground and it is cold.
Yeah.
But yeah, you get that. The sun is bright.
And you can feel it on your glabella?
Yes.
you can feel the warmth on your
makes
glabella?
Makes the winter just a little bit better.
Okay. Badinage. B-A-D-I-N-A-G-E. Badinage.
No.
No idea? Playful joking banter.
Oh, is that what we're doing right now?
That's what we do every morning on the show, is badinage. It can also be used as a verb meaning to playfully banter with or tease someone. So, like, anytime you talk to me about horses, that's badinage. Mm-hmm. By the way, Dan, Esmeralda brought up the horses at the podcast.
Bravo.
It didn't work so well.
Because of the rodeo boy thing?
That's exactly right.
By the way, yes or no on that one?
No.
No.
Yeah.
It was a little too much. Well, I was more because I don't like horses with their crazy people eyes. So
that was her
gonna...
thinking. Are you going to think about horses while you're on that thing?
Even Naturally? If that gets you a better core?
I'll do sit-ups.
Now that was batinage.
That's batinage right there. Okay. What else we got here? Oh, here's one that I knew. And this is because I'm a geek.
Okay.
The silent letters in words like night or fight.
What is it?
It's apthongs.
Okay.
Yeah, the silent letters in words like night or fight. And I knew that for some reason. I don't know why. All right, how about a Zugzwan? Zugzwan. Z-U-G-Z-W-A-N. Zugzwan. It wasn't Billy Corgan in a band called Zugzwan?
Yeah, that was the follow-up to Smashing Pumpkins. Coincidentally, sounded a lot like Smashing Pumpkins.
Was it
the same drummer?
It could be Zugzwan then, right?
Zugzwan, yeah.
So Zugzwan.
That was the first incarnation, and then they went, this needs to be shorter.
Mm-hmm. This is what it is. When you're playing chess and every available possible move is to your disadvantage, the situation is called a Zugzwan.
Oh, I like that.
That's pretty cool. I've never heard that before.
See, and I didn't think there were words like this in English.
Yeah.
Because in foreign languages, there's a lot of words that just describe actions, like when this and this and this happens.
Yeah.
But usually in English, you don't hear that.
How about this? The plastic table-like item found in the middle of the pizza box. You know, that little plastic thing that looks like a round table, the little plastic thing that you put in the middle of the pizza box. What's that called?
Oh, I don't know what.
It's called a box tent. It was patented in 1983. Now, you know why that's there, right?
To make
sure the box doesn't crush the pizza. No, to make sure the box doesn't to make the pizza better?
I don't know. I mean, that is technically true.
Yeah.
I mean, technically true. By sticking three small plastic prongs in it, it makes the pizza better?
Makes it, it aerates it.
Oh, man. All right. What about this? The area between your shoulder blades that you can never scratch.
No idea.
Eknestis.
Is that specific? Like specifically the part you cannot scratch?
The part that you can't scratch is eknestis, and that's A-C-N-E-S-T-I-S. Eknestis. Hey, don't look
like
at me.
People can do that. If you have a, you know,
well, if you're like double jointed or something, maybe you can. And then finally, neph. The word neph is fairly esoteric, which only seems appropriate given that the ornamental silver or gold shaped stands it describes. So it's ornamental gold or silver ship shaped. They were shaped like ships. Stands. That's a neph.
Wait, what? What's it like? What for? What?
I don't know. I just read the definition. That's
wait,
all that's
ornamental...
there.
Ornamental.
I don't have the paper in front of me anymore. I threw it out. Just that's a neph. Just use the word neph to describe that.
It's ornamental ship
shaped? Shaped ship shaped gold or silver.
Ornament.
Stands, S-A-N-D-S. Yeah.
Okay.
That's a neph. So whatever that thing I just described, that's a neph. All right. We got to take a break. Hey, Esmeralda, I'll see you tomorrow.
See you tomorrow.
We got two for Tuesday. And anybody who's got sports memorabilia and you're wondering how much it's worth, Michael Sacchi is going to be with us. And we will. Osaki. I keep calling him Osaki. It's Osaki. Only had the guy on 53 times. I'm an idiot. All right. We'll be right back.